Assalamu alaikum and thank you for logging on to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. We would like to thank all of our listeners, friends, and fans from around the globe who have logged on, downloaded, or subscribed for your continued support. Our first new podcast of the season is drawn from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's interview with Al Jazeera, conducted February 25th, 2007. This was his first interview this year after having major surgery.
Minister Farrakhan, could you explain to our viewers why the majority of your followers are African-American when you claim that your organization is Muslim one? And we all know that Islam is open to all races.
Well, if you look at the Prophet, peace be upon him, why were the majority of his followers in the beginning Arabs? It was because he came to the Arabs first and then to the world. The black man in America, the black woman in America are in the worst condition. Have you seen a people robbed of their names, their language, their culture, their religion, their own minds turned against themselves, savages made into tribes in a jahiliya like the early Arabs? So our duty was first to our own people as the prophets was, and then the light shines from the east around the world, and it shines now from the west around the world. So we are now inclusive of all members of the human family, but it started with the black man of America and woman who are in the worst condition of human beings.
So you have white American in your organization?
Some, yes. We have Hispanics, we have Native Americans, we have some Asians now in the Nation of Islam.
Mr. Farrakhan, are you still being accused of being anti-Semite? And if yes, by whom and why?
Are you a Semite?
Yes, I'm Arab.
Am I against you?
No.
Am I against Muslims? No. Are the Jews that came out of Europe, are they Semitic? Who are the Sephardim? Are they Semitic? Am I against them? Who has segregated them and the Ethiopian Jew? Is it not the European? No, the real anti-Semites are those that came out of Europe and settled in Palestine and now call themselves the true Jew when in reality they were converted to Judaism.
I want to move to another subject.
And I'll just say that the real Semitic Jews have been in that area of the world for thousands of years. They belong to Palestine. But these Johnny-come-latelys, if you pardon that expression, have put themselves there and say that that is their land. And now the Palestinians are under what Jimmy Carter called apartheid. The same kind of treatment that blacks went through in South Africa and the same kind of treatment that we went through in America is what the Palestinians are suffering. So who is the real anti-Semite? Is it Farrakhan? Show me one Palestinian, one Arab, one Jew that we have done any evil to except tell the truth. And if you can't stand the truth, then you don't even belong on the planet.
So why are you being accused of being anti-Semite?
Because they can't stand the truth.
What truth?
The truth of Jewish misbehavior. If you criticize Jews, it's not that I hate the Jewish people. I would be a foolish man to hate people because of their religious tradition. But if you criticize Israel, do they call you anti-Semite? Is Jimmy Carter an anti-Semite? He did a lot for the state of Israel. But the moment he wrote the book, Peace, not apartheid, in Palestine, the Jewish people called him, some of the Jews, called him an anti-Semite. Everybody that's critical of Jewish people is called an anti-Semite. But that's not true. It's a term that they use to use their power with the media to garner hatred for you and to make you back down from telling the truth. No charge like that will make me back down from telling the truth. And if I find you wrong, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move to another subject, the war in Iraq. You have called upon Democrats to impeach President Bush, describing him and his administration as a group of killers and liars. What do you make of this war from the start until now?
First of all, I've been to Iraq. I met with Saddam Hussein. I never agreed with his war with Iran. But I know that when he was in power, Sunni and Shia never murdered each other, except under the instigation of the CIA, that in 1991, and even before, the CIA stirred up enmity, the Shia in the south, the Kurds in the north. Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction. He was no threat to his neighbors. If he were a lion, as I said on Sunday, he had no teeth and his paws had no claws. He never shot down one American or British plane that flew all over Iraq in 12 years. Iraq had lost the power to protect their own sovereignty in the air. So when America went to war with Iraq and called it shock and awe and dropped that kind of armament on Iraq, that's murder. To get to the oil of Iraq, to put in a democracy, that's lying and murder. Call it just like it is. And the murder went on. 1.5 million Iraqis died, according to the UN and the World Health Organization, from sanctions. And Madeleine Albright said the price was worth it. So Arabs don't mean anything. Kurds don't mean anything to America. Your life means nothing. Over 600,000, according to Johns Hopkins University, civilians have died in the last 4 years, and that means nothing. These are murderers. And if you were not at each other's throat before they came in, then you got to examine them and what they did. It is anti-Islamic to bomb a mosque. So what Muslim who studies the Quran would bomb a mosque, whether it's Shia or Sunni or Sufi or Hanafi or Hanbali? No Muslim will destroy even a synagogue, a cloister, or a church, must let bomb another mosque. Where's the hand of Mossad in all of this? Where's the hand of the CIA in all of this? I didn't misdescribe the administration of the United States. They are liars and they are murderers and they are guilty of high crimes and they should be set down, for they have violated the Constitution of the United States of America and have violated the peoples of the world.
So you accuse the Mossad actually of playing a role in Iraq now?
I didn't say they did, but I just raised the question. The hand is too dirty. The hand is too filthy. They may have played a part. They're there. The CIA is there. Who's benefiting from this? The destruction of Muslims. Who's benefiting? I don't think Muslims are benefiting. Somebody else is benefiting from our slaughter of each other and giving Islam a bad name throughout the whole world. No, this is insanity and it must cease.
So how do you think the American engagement in Iraq will end, and why the anti-war movement is not as powerful as the Vietnam War?
It is growing. More and more every day, the American people are awakening. And as they awaken to the lies that their government has said or told them, as they see more and more bodies come back, as they see more and more pain inflicted on the Iraqi people, the American people will rise up. In the last election, they made their statement that they wanted a change. They wanted their troops to come home out of Iraq. And if President Bush does not obey the will of the American people, he should be set down. But you can't set him down alone. the whole neoconservative idea of an imperialist America must be repudiated by the Democrats, and they can win the world back to America as the world was with America after 9/11.
Mr. Farrakhan, in your letter to President Bush dated October 30th, 2002, you warned of the consequences of going to war with Iraq. And you wrote, America is the fulfillment of the mystery of Babylon mentioned in the book of Revelation. Do you want to explain this, please?
Yes. In the book of Revelations, it says that great mystery Babylon. The Bible says that she's a golden chalice on the outside, but filth and abomination of every kind is on the inside. If you look at America, we drink more alcohol in America than any nation on earth. We use more drugs than any nation on earth. There's more murder, more rape, more violence. There are more people in prison in America than in any civilized nation on the earth. America is 20th out of 21 in the preparation for her children. America is falling. So the scripture says Babylon is fallen and has become a habitation of devils and a hole for every foul and unclean spirit and hateful bird, a cage for every hateful bird. If you look at America, what do you mean a habitation of devils? Whatever Allah says in the Quran, whatever Allah says in Torah, whatever Allah says in Injil that we should not do, America says it's all right. If Allah says don't drink, go ahead and drink. If Allah says that homosexuality is an abomination, America says no, it's all right. If you want to smoke dope, if you want to let your children run wild, it's all right. It's the American way of life. You're free, but it's not freedom. It's license. So this is what the Bible is talking about. And America is falling. Her reputation in the world has been destroyed by President Bush and the neoconservative idea. And it can only be restored if America repents and says to the world, something went wrong in our leadership, and now we want to correct it. Iran will listen. Iran is not a naked enemy of America. If America changed and respected Iran, they could sit down with President Ahmadinejad. They can sit down with President Bashar, Assad. They can sit down with North Korea. Every nation on the earth wants friendship with America, but America can't have it if she's going to be the world's number one bully. She can't frighten Iran anymore. She can't frighten North Korea anymore, because if you throw at Iran, Iran can throw back. If you throw at North Korea, North Korea can throw back. North Korea, Iran, and Syria is not Grenada and Panama. So you can expect something. If you go to war with China, you can expect something. You interviewed President Putin. Well, President Putin is bringing Russia back with the billions of dollars coming for Russian oil. President Putin says he's going to make Russia a military power again. He's thinking about making the ruble strong again so that the tacit agreement that all oil will be sold by the use of American dollars. Now Saddam said he wanted to use euros. Putin says he wants to use rubles. China has over $1 trillion in its coffers that belong to America. And the longer she keeps those dollars and the dollar is falling, she will lose billions of dollars. So China is thinking about using euros. So what will that do to the American economy? What will that do to the American dollar? And if the dollar falls, the government will come down right behind the dollar.
Thank you for listening to the Farrakhan Speaks podcast. To purchase this interview in its entirety, log on to store.finalcall.com. Next week's podcast will be taken from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's interview with Martin Bashir of ABC News Nightline. And remember to log on and subscribe to the most widely circulated black newspaper in the country for all of your news and information. The Final Call at finalcall.com.